Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Subway Jungle Rewind moment in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the advanced way, with phrasing, stack control, and arrangement tension that actually feels like a proper drum and bass reload, not just a random tape stop effect. Think of the rewind as a negative space move first, and an effect second. That's the mindset. The less you do right before it, the bigger and more expensive the moment feels when it arrives. In Jungle, rollers, darker DNB, and neuroinformed bass music, the rewind works, because the audience feels the energy peak, then gets yanked into a stripped restart before the next hit lands even harder. So the first thing we're going to do is place this moment inside a real phrase. Usually that means the end of an 8-bar or 16-bar drop cycle. Don't just drop a rewind wherever it seems dramatic, make it land on a musical boundary. In arrangement view, build your main drop with a kick snare backbone, break edits, sub bass, mid bass, and a couple of atmospheric details, then leave a little pocket of space at the end. Even half a bar of negative space can make the rewind feel intentional. If the section before the rewind is already cluttered and non-stop, the listener won't feel a reset. They'll just hear more stuff. Now let's talk about the bass stack, because this is where the subweight part really matters. You want your bass doing three jobs. First, the sublayer. That's your clean anchor, usually a sine or triangle-based low end, kept simple, mono and steady. Use operator or wavitable. Keep it narrow with utility, and don't let stereo processing mess with the foundation. Second, the mid-bass layer. That's your reese, growl, or moving filtered texture. This is where you can use saturator, overdrive, erosion, and auto-filter movement to create motion and grit. Third, the attack layer. That's the transient, the little top-end bite that helps the bass read on smaller speakers and gives the reload more definition. A good way to think about the split is sub below roughly 90 Hz, mid-bass through the low mids, and texture and attack above that. The important part is that the sub stays stable even when the other parts get chopped, filtered, or reversed. That stability is what gives the rewind its weight. If the sub falls apart, the whole moment feels thin. Next, we build the rewind from your own material. That's the move that makes it feel like part of the tune instead of a stock transition. Route your bass group and drum bus to a new audio track and resample one or two bars of the drop. Pick a section with a snare, a bass stab, maybe a break fill or hat flourish. Then reverse that audio. Now you're not using a generic riser. You're literally pulling your own track backward, which is exactly why this hits so well in Jungle and DNB. From there, shape the reversed audio with a few practical tools. Auto filter is huge here. You can sweep the cutoff so the reverse tail starts darker and opens as it approaches the reload. Reverb can add bloom, but keep the low end controlled with low cut and the highs tucked in so it doesn't turn cinematic. Utility is useful too, especially if you want to collapse the width to mono during the heavy reset and then open it later. The key is to make the rewind sound like the track itself got grabbed and spun backward, not like a separate sound effect pasted on top. Now let's make the drums do some of the work. The rewind feels much more physical when the drum stack is arranged like a live event that suddenly gets interrupted. Group your drums into a drum bus. Layer a solid kick and snare with a chopped break, plus tops, shakers, rides, and a few ghost notes or micro fills in the last half bar. Use drum bus lightly for glue and weight, and a little glue compressor if needed. But don't smash it. You want a few dB of control, not a flattened drum loop. The arrangement trick here is density control. Let the break and ghost notes get busier right before the rewind, then cut them hard or let them collapse into the reverse tail. A really effective advanced move is duplicating your break track and making a rewind version with reversed slices, shortened ghosts, and a couple of stuttered snare hits. That way the rewind feels like a continuation of the rhythm, not a separate FX event. It keeps the listener locked to the groove even while the track is technically pulling back. Now automate the bass collapse. This is where the silence starts to feel massive. Instead of just stopping the bass, shape it down over the last quarter bar to full bar. Bring the auto filter cutoff down. Reduce saturation a little, shorten the note lengths, and if you've got a reese moving around, narrow it before the dropout. In the last couple of beats, the bass should feel more fragmented. In the last quarter note, you may only have a sub pulse and a filtered texture left. Then the reverse tail takes over that empty space. That's the real secret here. The rewind isn't just what you hear. It's also what disappears. Shorter can be heavier than longer because it gives the room, the break, and the impact more space to breathe. After the rewind, resist the urge to just replay the original drop. The reload should feel like a new chapter. A strong return usually starts narrow and sparse. For example, Bar 1 after the rewind could be just kick, snare, and sub. Then bar 2 brings back the mid-bass and a ghost break fill. Bar 3 restores the full drum bus and adds a counter-rhythm bass stab. Bar 4 opens up the top layer with a new texture or higher harmonic detail. That staged return is what makes the second impact feel bigger than the first. It's contrast, not just volume. And yes, use automation to steer attention through the reload. Open the mid-bass filter slightly more than before. Throw a bit of reverb on the final rewind snare. Add a small delay flick on one bass stab with short feedback and low-cut the return so the sub stays clean. These are the little moves that make the arrangement feel like it's breathing and turning, not just looping. Also, make the transition feel performable. This is something listeners feel even if they don't consciously notice it. Use clip gain to dip the last hit before the rewind. Leave a tiny silence gap, even just a 1/16 or 1/8 note. Add a reverse crash or noise swell if needed, but keep it subtle. The goal is for the listener to feel the rewind in their chest, not just hear a whoosh. Low-end discipline matters a lot here too. Keep the sub mono. Check the rewind moment in mono regularly with utility. If the reverse tail or the bass stack starts piling up around 50 to 80 Hz, clean it up. High-pass anything non-essential that enters the transition. If it sounds huge in stereo, but falls apart in mono, you've probably got too much width in the low mids or too much low-end junk in the reverse material. In club music, the mono check is not optional. It's how you make sure the reload survives the sound system. Let's talk about a couple of advanced variations, because this technique has range. You can do a fake-out rewind, where only the top break and one snare transient reverse. The bass re-enters on an unexpected offbeat, and the sub stays silent a little longer. That creates a missed drop feeling, which is amazing for tension. You can do a double reload, where the first return is sparse and the second return 2 bars later is fuller and more aggressive. You can do a halftime choke, where the groove briefly feels slower right after the rewind before snapping back. Or you can expose a hidden bass motif during the rewind, so the moment becomes musical, not just structural. If you want the darkest, heaviest version of this, try resampling the rewind tail through saturation twice, with auto filter in between. Layer a reversed snare slice, a reversed bass stab, and a little room or noise capture from the drop. Keep the noise low, but it glues the moment together. You can even pitch a reversed snare tail down a couple semitones for extra ominous pull. Tiny micro-pitch movement on the reverse tail or first reload hit can also make the whole thing feel more dangerous without sounding gimmicky. Here's the practical challenge. Build an 8-bar drop at 174 BPM with sub, 1 res, breakbeat drums, and 1 atmospheric hit. Resample bars 7 and 8. Reverse a 1-bar segment with a snare and bass stab. Automate auto-filter on the reversed audio. Leave a half bar of silence or near silence. Then rebuild the first 2 bars after the rewind using only kick, snare, sub, and 1 bass layer. When you compare the original drop entry and the reload, make the reload tighter, darker, or more open above the low end. The goal is to make the rewind feel like a real arrangement decision, not just an effect scene. So to recap, stack your bass properly, resample your own material, and arrange the return with contrast. Keep the sub mono. Keep the drums phrase aware. Keep the reverse moment tight. In DNB, the rewind works because it turns energy control into an arrangement weapon. And when you get it right, it sounds like the track just got grabbed by the crowd, spun backward, and slammed back in with way more authority. That's the move.